Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Let's go to the book of Psalms, the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Amen. Yeah, this is that crazy time of year. We had the heat on upstairs and the air conditioning on downstairs here in the church. Amen. Yeah, I'm hot too. Hallelujah. But the air is on. It will kick on eventually. Amen. Okay, let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1. Six verses in this psalm. We're going to read the whole psalm together. Blessed is the one. How many want you to be the blessed one? Blessed is the one who what? Who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person, the blessed one, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Now flip the coin. Not so for the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. I want to go back to verse 1, and here's where my sermon thought is coming from. Verse 1, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. Now, it's no secret to anybody. Obviously, we live in a fast-paced world, don't we? I mean, just an ever-quickening pace of life. Many people just seem to be bored with anything that appears to be traditional or normal. Boundaries are being tested all of the time. Many people are confused as to what actually gives life its quality and its true fulfillment. Our culture, really, we're in a moral fog without a compass to guide them through the modern hodgepodge of philosophical and social ideas. People now get their news. You know, when I was growing up, we used to get our news from Walter Cronkite. Yeah, I'm that old. Amen. But now people get their news from TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. And because the mainstream media outlets, they can't be trusted. I'm just going to say it. They all have an agenda, including your favorite three-letter network. Amen? They all have an agenda. Amen? Fox has an agenda. CNN has an agenda. MSNBC has an agenda. Come on, they all have an agenda. Can we all agree on that? Amen. And if you don't know that, you need to watch. You'll find out real quick. Podcasts have become the preferred source of journalism for this generation. But even podcasts are the product of the podcast person, the podcaster, if you will. And with the ease of all this access to technology, these forms of media, the problem is they've taken the place and the voice of the church. In many cases, in providing ethical and moral leadership. That's why I took 10 minutes at the start of this sermon, just to remind you, voting is not just a privilege or something we just toss to the side. Voting is a responsibility of a good citizen and a Christian, amen? Amen. But see, we've got faulty sources of guidance that are leading people down the wrong road, and it's resulting in a lot of people lacking really any semblance of moral absolutes. Here's the good news, though. It is in this climate, in a climate like this, that I believe authentic Christianity has never had a better opportunity to lead and guide a world that's gone crazy. Amen? We got so much people just spewing hatred on both sides. What a great time for Christians to look like normal people who love and don't hate, who can have dialogue and discourse. What a time for the church to shine. The influence of Jesus is the only hope for the world. Jesus still delivers from sin. He fills the hearts of people with peace. He makes life meaningful. And there's really only two approaches, folks, to living life. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. So either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. That's what the scripture tells us. Free will gives every person the capacity to choose the way in which they'll go, the life that you want to live, and the path that you're going to walk on. Amen. But when we consider the ultimate blessing, and by the way, you've got that free will, but you also get to exercise that free will because we live in a country that's still free. Keep voting so you can have that freedom. Amen. Now, in my Bible, the heading for Psalm chapter 1 is called The Way of the Righteous. That's what it's called. Now, I'm sure many of your Bibles may say something similar to that. Psalm 1 is kind of regarded by most as a preface that introduces the theme of the entire book to teach that the way of righteousness is the way to be blessed and to warn us against the destruction of living our lives out as sinners. Not to follow the life of the righteous leaves your life empty and meaningless. Amen. On the other hand, righteousness or the path of the blessed one, it's the way to a fulfilled life. That first word there, blessed, it's an all-encompassing description of the rewards of the righteous. That original word is plural, and it indicates the promise of a multiplicity of blessings. How many of you like that thought, right? Not just a blessing, a multiplicity of blessings to those that walk in the way of the righteous. So, blessed is the one who. And that's what I want us to look at in these six verses. In order to be the blessed one, what do I need to do? What do I need to not do? What is my life supposed to look like? Let's look at these six verses. First, we're going to look at what blessed people do not do. Then we're going to look at what blessed people do do. All the little kids go, he said do. Let's look at what blessed people do not do. Are you ready? Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That same verse from the New Century Version says this. Happy are those who don't listen to the wicked. Amen. So here's the first thing what blessed people do not do. Blessed is the one who doesn't listen to the wicked. Amen. Now you got to be careful, folks. Hear me. Who you listen to. Amen. I've already told you there's a lot of slanted agenda sources out there. And if you only listen to one thing all the time, you're going to become slanted and have an agenda yourself. But more importantly, you got to make sure you're not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. That's what the Bible says. Here's what Solomon said about good counsel. Proverbs 11 and 14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls, and there is safety in having many advisors. By the way, this is why a president has a cabinet. This is why they have advisors. Amen. We don't want any one person making all the decisions, right? The New Century Version said this, lots of good advice will save it. Counsel, good counsel. And the best counsel, hear me, is going to always come from people with a godly or a biblical perspective or worldview. Amen. Stop listening to the ungodly. That's what your Bible says. Stop listening to ungodly counsel. Stop listening to the counsel of the wicked. What am I talking about? Ungodly friends? Ungodly family? Come on. Ungodly podcasters? Ungodly politicians? Ungodly religious leaders? Almost everybody has an opinion these days, right? But if you're listening to those opinions, you got to make sure they are grounded in the Word of God. Come on, folks, you need to listen to the right people. Moral decisions, financial decisions, debt decisions, raising your kid decisions, marriage advice decisions. Don't walk, the scripture said, in the counsel of the ungodly if you want to be blessed. All the academic knowledge in the world only exasperates the problem unless there is godly influence or biblically foundational thinking governing the thought process. Amen. True solutions come through good counsel, godly counsel that is based on the Word of God. Blessed is the one, the scripture says. So the question is, are you blessed by the people that you're taking your counsel from? Let the Word of God be the guide and be discerning enough to know when counsel is biblical. Proverbs 19:21, There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. That's where biblical counsel, good wise counsel comes in. Because, you know, sometimes we don't know what to do. Yeah. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Amen? Listening to wrong counsel can have consequences. Yes. Look at Eve. Genesis 3, she listened to the serpent, ended up cast out of the garden. Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12, listened to his friends, cranked up the oppression of God's people, ultimately lost his kingdom. Genesis 32, Aaron listened to the people, and while Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron's down there building a golden calf. You know why? Listening to the counsel of the wrong people. So, who do I seek for godly counsel? A trusted Christian friend? A pastor, an elder, professional counselors that have a Christian worldview, amen? And you can do that now. You can call up a counselor and ask them about their worldview. And if they won't give it to you, find somebody else who will. It's not complicated, amen? Remember, multitude of counselors, the scripture says. It should bear witness with more than one godly counselor or advisor. Because here's what I know. You can find somebody who's going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Kevin, I don't like your counsel. Mika, can I talk to you? Mika, that's the best you got. Daniel, can I talk to you? How about you, Kevin? Rodney, oh, that's what I was thinking. I got my answer. Thus saith the Lord. Come on, a multitude of counselors, the Bible says. By the way, I used to teach a lesson on this, but there's three primary counselors in your life. I'm just going to give them to you real quick and move on if you're a committed Christian. Are you ready? Number one is the Word of God. Everybody say Bible.
Bible.
Number two is a man or woman of God.
Yes.
That's spiritual leadership. By the way, folks, a pastor or spiritual leader still have a role in your life. They do, amen. They're not your dictator. They're not going to tell you everything to do, amen. But they serve as a source of guidance in your life. And then number three is the Spirit of God,
amen.
The Holy Spirit. Word of God, man or woman of God, Spirit of God. Those three counselors in your life will keep you on the right track. Seek godly voices in your life. So what do we not do? Number one, blessed is the one who doesn't listen to the ungodly or wicked. Here's the second one. Blessed is the one who does not stand in the way of sinners. Word of the Lord, Psalm 1 and 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners. One of my favorite scenes from a movie that we used to watch growing up is Little Giants. Anybody remember Little Giants? Rick, I think his name is Moranis. I can't remember the guy's name. He's got a little team of misfit kids. He's put together this football team, and they're all standing around talking. Well, Dick Butkus and his assistant, they're the coach of the good team. They're over in the bushes and they're spying and they're looking through trying to see what they can figure out. And his assistant, who's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, he goes, look, the quarterback is doing this and they're doing that. And he thinks they're running a play. And finally, Dick Butkus looks at him and goes, they're just standing around, butts. They're just standing around. And you know what? You've got to be careful who you are just standing around with. Because eventually, it's going to affect the path of your life. Don't stand around with sinners. Amen? Now, I'll dig into this a little bit. But have you ever been somewhere walking and something was going on and you just had to keep right on walking, right? You didn't want to be a part of that? The blessed person doesn't become bosom buddies with people that are going to pull you down. Amen. Come on, if you're a recovering addict, you don't need to be hanging around with people that want you to go back to the bar. Come on, some of this is common sense. If you're trying to live for God, you don't need to be around people that are going to pull you in the wrong direction. Amen. It matters who you stand around with, who you do life with. It matters who your people are. Amen. And as Christians, we've got to be wise about our relationships. Let me read a scripture to you, 2 Corinthians 6:14. The only time I ever heard this when I was a kid was in light of dating. But this scripture is so much bigger than that. Look at these verses. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And since we're here, I do want to throw it out. Young adults, teenagers, single people, this does matter. You need to make sure the people you date or you want to marry are also believers. Can everybody in the house say amen? Marriage is hard enough with two Christians. You don't need to exasperate your problem by marrying a heathen, amen? I'm just saying. And if you're already in that, I'm praying for you, amen. Amen. But look what verse 16 says. And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Folks, look what Paul, these were harsh words. He said, don't team up. How can you be a partner? What harmony can there be? What union can there be? I'm telling you, folks, you got to be careful who you associate with. Amen? The basic philosophy of a Christian should be worlds apart from that of a non-Christian. And can I just say this in love? If your worldview is not different than all the people that are not believers in you, you need to check your worldview. You need to check your philosophy and make sure you're operating from a biblical base of knowledge as your foundation. The old saying is true, birds of a feather flock together. Those who have similar interests are drawn together. Those who have opposite interests find it difficult to find common ground. For example, that's why positive people do not like to be around negative people.
I know that's right.
Amen? That's why spiritually minded people do not enjoy hanging around with carnal people. That's why people of faith don't like to be around people who are in fear or doubt all the time, right? That's why happy people don't like to be around sad people. Birds of a feather flock together. And as Christians, hear me. Let me just say this. I want to make sure everybody's clear on this. We are not better than other people that are not Christians. We're not, amen? We got to find a social balance with unbelievers. We got to love them. We got to not judge them. Amen. We're just more blessed that we found Jesus and we found the truth. But also remember, they are not my main circle of influence. And stop apologizing for that. Your best people need to be your church people. Your Christian people. Your godly people. Amen. If you want to be blessed. Blessed is the one, number one, who doesn't listen to the wicked. Blessed is the one, number two, that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And then blessed, number three, is the one that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He says, be careful how you walk, who you walk with. Be careful who you stand with. And now he's saying, be careful where you sit down. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1 and 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way the sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. All right. Sitting indicates more than just a rendezvous or a quick visit, amen? It implies making yourself comfortable in that setting, right? Some people you walk right on past. Some people you just walk and you stop and you stand for a minute and then you keep on going. But then there's other people that you want to sit down and have a conversation with. Make sure you're not sitting not only with the mockers, make sure you're not, your seat is not the seat of the mocker. Make sure that's not you. See, one thing is clear. The seat of the scornful, the place of the mocker is no place for the righteous. What am I talking about? People that are gossiping all the time. People that are negative all the time. People that are always talking bad about other people. Because I promise you, if you give that person an ear when they're talking bad about other people, one day they're going to be talking about bad about you to someone else. Amen. It would seem that as a Christian, we got to be careful that we're not guilty by association, not just by actively participating. Amen. In other words, don't only make sure that you're not only not scorning others, but you're not keeping company with those kinds of people. Folks, man, we live in a day, I can say this, I've been on this earth a little while, we live in a day of extreme cynicism. I mean, I've never seen so much cynicism, amen. No matter what somebody says, somebody's gonna challenge you on it. Yeah. It was cold this morning. Well, it was cold in Virginia, but if you lived in Minnesota, you wouldn't think it was cold. I mean, people are gonna challenge you about everything these days, right? Don't be that person. And don't hang out with those people, amen? The seed of the scornful leads to discord and disunity, amen? And the Bible says that God hates people that sow discord. Proverbs 13 and 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Have you noticed people like that will not listen to anything you have to say? They never accept responsibility. They always deflect or they blame you. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 24 and 9, the schemes of folly are sin and people detest a mocker. Keep being that person and watch your crowd shrink. Watch your circle of influence diminish. So, we've summarized from that verse what blessed people don't do. Now let's look at what they do. Here's what verse 2 says that a blessed person does. Psalm 1 and 2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So it's real simple. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. In keeping with this, there's a growing love for God and the Word of God in your life. The Bible's got to be your roadmap. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. What's it good for? What's the Bible good for? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. All of these things. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I'm giving you a lot of Bible today because we're talking about the Bible. The Bible is our source. It's our source of salvation. Look at James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. That's correction from the word. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. It has the power to save your souls. Hallelujah. And even after becoming a Christian, continuing to obey the word of God will continue to unlock blessings in your life. James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then, everybody say then. God will bless you for doing it. I love these verses that look like math problems. Look at it. Look at it again. Look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. And, right? Look carefully. And if you do what it says and you don't forget what you've heard, then equals God will bless you for it. Amen. Blessed is the one who learns to love the word of God. Look at Psalm 19 and verse 7, talking about the word of the Lord. I love this passage from the New Century Version. It says, the teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. The orders of the Lord are upright. Amen. Are right. They make people happy. The commands of the Lord are pure. They light up the way. Respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are completely right. They are worth more than gold, even the purest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even the finest honey. Hallelujah. We've got a quart of some kind of really good honey at our house. And it doesn't fit up in the little cabinet. The little shelves are too small. It won't fit up there right where the tea stuff is. So Robin made a big mistake, and she left that quart of honey just sitting there on the counter. So every day, and your boy walks by, and I crack open. It's not going to be a quart very much longer. I crack open that lid, and I get me a teaspoon, sometimes a tablespoon. But I get a teaspoon, and I stick it in there, and I spin it around. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You don't want that honey to drip. I spin it around, spin it around, spin it around. Grab it out. Take a big, woo. Y'all want some honey right now, ain't you? The Bible says that the word of God ingested daily, it's better than that kind of taste in your mouth. Hallelujah. Blessed is the one who loves the word of the Lord. If you want to live the blessed life, you got to find a way to remove yourself from all of the noise and activity that's going on around us and find a place of reflection and contemplation of the Word of God. Read the Bible every day, even if it's just a few verses or a chapter or a devotion. Read the Word of God every day. Plant it in your spirit. Amen. I'm almost done. Praise team, come on up. You can't talk about the way of the righteous without talking about the way of the unrighteous. Psalm 1 and verse 3. David contrasts the blessed life. He says in verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prosper. Now notice, he flips the script, verse 4. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. Now, one is like a tree planted by the water, bearing fruit. But he says the other one, the wicked, they're like chaff scattered by the wind. Chaff is the dry outer shell of grain that's separated by threshing and then by the process of winnowing. And in Bible times, after they would beat the grain and the chaff was broken apart from it, they would take that, and sometimes they would take a big container, and then they would throw it up in the air. And what would happen is that heavy grain would fall to the ground, and the wind would just take that chaff, just blow it away. And the Word of God says that's what the life of an unrighteous person is like. Man, that's kind of a sad picture, isn't it? It says you're just like chaff. And when the first breaking comes and then the first puff of wind comes, you're just blown away. That's a strong picture of what an unrighteous, unblessed life looks like. When a person lives their life only to satisfy themselves, you know what? We become like an empty shell of what we could be or what we should be. The unrighteous life, you know, it might feel easy. It might look easy, right? Sometimes we stand back and we might even admire unrighteous people. Go, man, they got it made. This looks like everything's going their way. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. But you see, sometimes we got to remember, we got to not be short-sighted, and we need to remember we have to live with eternity in mind. And with an eternal perspective. I want you to stand with me all over this house. Here's what David said in the rest of those verses about the unrighteous. Verse 5 and verse 6. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. Notice he's talking about judgment. He's talking about in the future. Verse 6. Because the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Sometimes it may seem that the unrighteous people are excelling, but folks, just remember, there's coming a time of judgment, and I want to be on the right side. Jesus told a parable of two builders who built homes. If you know the story, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't, but he told about these two builders. One guy built a house on sand. One guy built a house on the rock. When the storms came, winds came, the house that was built on the sand or the unsure foundation was washed away. The house built on a rock withstood the storm and survived. Amen. Here's what I know. I used to work construction. The foundation of a house is one of the most important stages of the whole process. When we built this church, I was here when they poured the footers and they poured the concrete. Matter of fact, right back under that life sign, right back in that corner in the concrete, I took one of my preaching Bibles and I stuck it in the concrete when they were making the pour. And we prayed and we said, Lord, let this church be built on the Word of God. Amen. Put it right under that sign. It's in the concrete. The foundation is important. And so, folks, here's the deal. What is the foundation of your life being built on? Blessed is the one. I want to be blessed. And I do that and I make that choice by making conscious decisions about how I live my life. I want to be careful how I walk, who I stand with, and where I sit. I want to make sure that my alliances and my allegiances are strong and with the right people. I want to make sure that I follow the Word of God and I fall in love with the Word of the Lord and I let it lead me and guide me, because I don't want to end up the wrong way. I'm going to open up this altar. And I want to invite you as Christians to just say, Lord, I'm making a fresh step today. I'm making a new commitment today. Maybe you're one of those that you've been sitting in that wrong seat or you've been standing with the wrong people. Here's the good news, man. Today's a brand new day. Lord, give me the courage to make some difficult decisions. Give me the courage. I might need to lose his number, or I might need to cut this person off, or I might need to stop this. I might need to quit this job. Whatever I need to do, God, I need to associate myself with the right people. I might need to change my calendar. I might need to join a small group. I might need to break. I don't know what it is, but I want to be blessed, and I know you do too. Amen. So as the praise team begins to sing, I want to invite you to step out from where you are and say, Lord, I want to be blessed. And I want my life to be blessed. And I want my children to be blessed. And I want my marriage to be blessed. And I want my grandkids to be blessed. Amen. Would you come? Would you come? Make that step today. Come on out and pray a prayer of repentance and ask the Lord into your life. Ask him in. God, I trust you today.
The joy of the Lord is my
thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.